Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are so close, just a few weeks away from crowning a new Super Bowl champion, and it will not be the Patriots. They won't go back to back. Instead, we have got eight teams left, and come Sunday night, we'll be down to the final four. Remember last Championship Sunday? A year ago, Championship Sunday gave us the most controversial play of the entire season, plus two overtime dramatic affairs in which the road team won both games.
You don't get one.
You don't get a flag. You don't get an offsides penalty. You don't. Oh, actually, you did get that, D Ford. It was all kinds of twists and turns and just a really phenomenal postseason. And then after having the high-flying, high-octane passing attacks be the focus of the 2018 season, what do we get in the Super Bowl? One touchdown. What was the final score? 13-3? I don't remember the final score, but it was a defensive slugfest between the Patriots and the Rams. We know neither one of those teams will be returning. In fact, on Championship Sunday, we are guaranteed of at least three new participants. The Chiefs are still alive, and we're going to preview those games as we head through this edition of After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage, and that's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Going back a couple of shows ago, I was asking you your one big goal, something you'd like to accomplish or achieve for 2020. And there are a lot of you that said, buy a house, buy a bigger house, move out of my parents' house. Whatever the case is, I certainly know that moving is on the horizon for me in 2020, whether I buy a house, whether I rent again. And so that's a big venture. But 2020 is now 9 days old. We're into the 10th day barely. And it seems like there's a blank canvas stretching out in front of us. Or at least that's how I feel. I feel like 2020 is just waiting for me to start scribbling and drawing and coloring out of the lines. Well, the NFL has certainly started off the season with a bang, or the year with a bang, the postseason with a bang. And if wildcard weekend is any indication, we are in for another wild ride coming up on Saturday and Sunday. So we've got our poll up. Now, I'm rephrasing a little bit. It's our typical, which game are you most looking forward to? But I'm thinking, if you put yourself in one of these stadiums, if you could get a ticket to any one of these four games in the Bay Area, in Baltimore, at Arrowhead in Kansas City, or at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, where it could be snow. I need to call my Grammy this weekend. I'm sure she'll be watching the game with my uncle. Which game would you like to attend in person? It's kind of a fun twist on our weekly poll. So check it out on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And I'd love to take your football calls now, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So in addition to talking about football, and I do want to talk about it with you, we'll preview every game. So here's the fun thing. There's so much going on in football these next 3 days that I could do the next 3 hours of the show and talk to myself the whole time. But if you want to talk about the football games, the divisional playoffs, or the national championship coming up on Monday night, though we still have another show between now and then, I'm happy to hear from you, 855-212-4227. But even as you contemplate calling and you contemplate which game you'd like to talk about, I know you want to give me predictions because that never changes. I stumbled upon the story, maybe you've seen it now too, that Carson Wentz self-reported his concussion symptoms last week in that first quarter of the game against the Seahawks. I know that a lot has changed in professional sports now. There's so much of a focus on preventing head injuries and then treating them once they are diagnosed. Trying to be really cautious because of all the science, the research, everything that's been revealed about the danger of head injuries and how a second concussion, a third concussion exponentially increases the impact and the potential for long-term health challenges, long-term problems, both physical, mental, psychological, even emotional. And we've talked to athletes who deal with the long-term ripple effects of multiple hits or repeated hits to the head, multiple concussions. And so even as the climate has changed a lot and Carson Wentz isn't the first to self-report symptoms, you remember Ben Roethlisberger did it maybe 3 years ago? And I remember it was a fairly big story at the time because he said, it was the first time I'd ever thought about my family. I'm out there on the field and I'm thinking, or I'm in a game and I'm thinking, wow, if I don't take care of myself, if I don't tell the truth about what's happening right now with my head, with my brain, it could really affect me down the road. And that's a credit to the fact that we've had a lot more conversation about head injuries and concussions. And while there's still so much that's unknown, it's not a taboo subject anymore. And you know, the NFL has added its independent neurologists. It's given the power to these independent doctors to pull players off the field or to put them in concussion protocol, at the very least, make them go through concussion testing in the tent on the sideline if they think that there's a chance they could have been dealing with some kind of a head injury. Well, those independent doctors and other spotters didn't seem to notice that Carson Wentz was in danger of having these types of symptoms. Now, you can go back to the Jadeveon Clowney hit. It was helmet to helmet from behind. There was talk that it was a late hit. I believe it should have been flagged. It wasn't. But Wentz's head bounced on the turf. And yet, even though there were doctors, there were athletic trainers there, he wasn't put in the tent until he actually reported his symptoms himself on the sideline. So the independent spotters didn't see it. The neuro doctor, the neurologist, they didn't see that Carson was showing any signs of concussion or head trauma, anything like that. He actually told the medical staff himself. Now, you can certainly focus on the fact, if you want, that the system failed, quote unquote, in this particular case. I don't know that that is, I mean, sure, it's a fair point to make, but it's not an infallible system. These are still human beings who are watching from afar. And it certainly is possible, and I know this because I've had a concussion before, it certainly is possible to have a concussion and not show any outward symptoms. You don't have to be staggering around like you're drunk after a hit to the head. You don't have to be unable to get up on your own to have a concussion. There are other symptoms that only the player himself would know. Blurred vision. Maybe like a vertigo type of effect, like a spinning, in this case, it would be kind of a spinning stadium. Dizziness. Maybe seeing double. Or just a really nasty headache. Whatever it is, there are certainly some symptoms that doctors can't see. Now, should they err on the side of caution? Absolutely. But in this case, I applaud Carson Wentz for telling the athletic training staff himself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Is there anyone who wants to stay on the field for a playoff game more than Carson Wentz? Probably not. Carson had to know. He had to feel all of the same things that people have been saying about him for the past couple days. That he's fragile. Not all people. But one of the common refrains after he left the game and after the Seahawks beat the Eagles, well, it's because Carson Wentz is fragile. He's injury prone. He's made of glass, which is all BS. Injury prone and getting hit from behind by another player's helmet, having your head bounced off the turf, those two things have nothing to do with each other. You're not injury prone because someone hits you with their helmet and bounces your noggin off the field. That's not an injury. That's not a torn ACL. But Carson had to know that there was a chance if he reported the symptoms that he was feeling and experiencing that he might not get to play the rest of that game. And yet, he did it anyway. Maybe it was really bad. Maybe he was scared. Regardless, he put his health, which is extremely important, especially when it comes to your brain and your head, above all of those feelings of, no, I just want to play, not again. Which, you know, if fans are thinking it, so is he. He's so competitive, and he'd worked so hard for the Eagles to get that NFC East title. And yet, he was brave, and I'm proud of him. I'm proud of him for taking this step when he didn't have to. And certainly, there will be people, and he had to think there would be people who would criticize him for being weak and not being able to play through it. We still get that every now and then in pro sports. If you toughen up, if you're tougher, you can play through anything. I remember how many times we've heard from players of previous eras. They gave us some smelling salts and we got right back out there. Blackout or no blackout. Well, that's dangerous. And football, as great as it is, as an amazing arena as it is, and as much as he wanted to play, is not worth sacrificing your long-term health. Also, I think it's impressive that Doug Peterson, maybe it was Doug Peterson that Carson Wentz was hearing, that Doug Peterson told his players that it's selfish not to tell the truth about concussion symptoms or whatever it is that you're feeling. Because earlier in the year, there was a linebacker who took a blow to his head, finished the game, lied to the medical staff, later admitted it, and Doug Peterson said, no, we don't do that. That's selfish. And so Carson Wentz, as a leader, followed through and did the right thing for himself and for his team. And I get it. Football's a tough guy sport. It's a war of attrition. They go to battle. But I'm proud of Carson because in spite of all of that, he still told the truth. Now, had he been out there with concussion, with these symptoms, would it have been any better for the Eagles? I have no idea. But I do know that as much as he's been branded in some circles with this injury-prone tag, this fragile tag, what mattered most in the moment was that he told the truth and was that he did the right thing. And so I'm proud of him. I'm sure it was hard for him. And obviously, he feels bad about the Eagles not moving on. Maybe feels some responsibility. but that doesn't mean he shouldn't do the right thing. And he did. He did the right thing. I think it was a brave move because there are probably a lot of players in the NFL and other sports that wouldn't do that. All right. The Eagles are no longer in the playoffs here either. We're talking about the Giants, talking about the Eagles. We talked about the Cowboys. It's the NFC East. It's the soap opera of the NFL. But we're going to focus on playoff teams in the back half of this hour. Want to take your phone calls, 855-212-4227. And straight ahead, your first chance to hear the latest candidates for the After Hours Hall of Flame. Not fame. We don't do fame around here. We do flame outs, baby. So you'll get the candidates and you'll have a chance to vote. That's straight ahead here. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We're talking about practice.
On After Hours, the biggest meltdowns in sports history.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I want to eat his children.
Are immortalized with an infamous distinction.
Can't do it.
They are who we thought they were.
You play to win the game.
Now it's time for Amy Lawrence to bring you tonight's candidates for the After Hours Hall of Flame.
Put that in your practice, folks.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
He's an idiot.
It's unbelievable what they did!
It was a struggle.
The difference between partying and being out of control. Yeah.
It's called maturity. It's your job.
What in the was that?
Like shit through a tin horn, man.
All I see is that.
No days off! No days off!
Take that for data.
Navy actually stuck her finger up her nose.
The ref really wasn't even listening to nothing that I was saying.
For what? I didn't know.
Why don't you just run it? You know, just that's a really good thought.
I tried to activate my glutes as best I could.
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes.
He's an idiot.
A rude tube.
Listen to that!
Bend over backwards and be honest and direct with you guys. You stick it right up my... And the team. But I'm sick of it.
I'm here, so I won't get found.
LAPD was called.
If you're not going to punch me in my face when you see me, then shut up.
I apologize to Draymond Green
and his mom.
Stop it right now. We will stop this tournament. This is stupid. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Hey, I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you.
We're still here. We're still here.
Our roster looks great on paper. Whoopty hell. All right.
They're very fiery under the covers.
Can you see why I love the Hall of Flame so much? It's been a while. It's our first Hall of Flame induction of 2020, but honestly, it's our first one in probably 5 months. It's our first one of this football season, and so we are long overdue. Thanks so much for tuning in. Here's how it works. We give you four candidates for the After Hours Hall of Flame, and you vote for the one that must take his place on the hallowed halls. You will need our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, also our Facebook page, and we're going to let you hear each of these individual rants in all of its glory. We want to say, first of all, congratulations to Mike Leach, who has a new job. He will be the next head coach at Mississippi State, according to multiple reports. He actually is taking the job that Joe Judge didn't take, or might have taken if he had not been hired by the Giants. So it's a very small fraternity, this coaching fraternity in both college and the pros. But Mike Leach, previously of the Pac-12, was asked recently who would win if you pitted all of the various Pac-12 mascots against one another.
What kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? We've got to consider that. I'm going to say the Wildcat's out. The Trojan, does he have a horse or is he on foot? Does he have a bow and arrow or just his sword? The Bruin, definitely formidable. The tree, I imagine that tree's going to get chopped down unless we're going to go with a bird and somebody might get pecked or something. I don't know. The duck might lose interest and just fly away and get out of there, which may be good advice under the circumstances. The husky, no chance. The beaver, well, we'll see how long that beaver can hold his breath. The Ute, again, we're back to, is he on horseback? Does he have a bow and arrow? Did he trade for a rifle? I mean, you know, because if that Ute's got a rifle, there's some definite problems. Just as far as a beast alone, a buffalo's going to be pretty hard to tangle with. I mean, a buffalo's utterly outstanding. Did I leave any of them out? The cougar will find a way. Clear-minded and crafty, a combination of stay out of harm's way and attack when you get your chances or your openings.
All of that knowledge, and it will do him absolutely no good at Mississippi State in the SEC. But boy, could any other person on the planet get asked a question about pitting the big Pac-12 mascots against one another and come up with that kind of an answer off the cuff? Wowzers. So Mike Leach, in honor of your brand new job that will take you away from all of these colorful mascots, the Stanford tree is going to get chopped up. Congratulations on his new job, but that is candidate number one. I mean, he's already in the Hall of Fame, but he gives us material for days. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, because it's our first Hall of Fame induction of the entire football season, we actually went back a ways. The distance the NFL season has traveled is phenomenal. So John Gruden, if you remember, was the first to give Antonio Brown an opportunity going back to the preseason, actually going back to the spring with the frozen feet, and then 2 days, and then the preseason, the exhibition, and still nothing but drama. Finally, after a conflict with the front office, after on the field, just demonstrations by Antonio Brown. Ugh, he's such a mess. Anyway, finally the Oakland Raiders cut ties, and lo and behold, he was signed by the New England Patriots. John Gruden was done at that point.
I mean, my God. I mean, I feel like someone's smashing my temple on the side of the head. Get over it, man. It's over. You know, we were good the preseason without him. You know, we're going to be fine without him. And we wish him the best. But, you know, we gave it a shot. And now New England gets their turn. Good luck to them. But I just can't, I can't deal with it anymore, really. Sorry.
Good luck to them, he says. I feel like someone is smashing my, what did he say? I feel like someone is smashing I don't know, but it sounded very violent. John Gruden was done at that point. Oh my gosh, what an experiment. And then he says good luck to the Patriots, right? And 11 days later, he's out of New England as well. Dean Spanos. Well, he had to be bleeped a bunch. Otherwise, he would never be in the After Hours Hall of Fame category for induction. But he did not like the idea, the rumor, the speculation that the Chargers would be moving to London.
I know there's been a lot of crap going around in the last 24 hours about this London thing. And I just want to give you a quote from me, okay? It's total okay? We're not going to London. We're not going anywhere. We're playing in Los Angeles. This is our home. And this is where we're planning to be for a long time, okay. Period. Okay? And if you want me to say it again, I'll say it again. That story. Okay? Thank you.
I love how he says thank you at the end. Good luck, says John Gruden. Dean Spanos, thank you. So those are two of the big stories that we talked about over the course of the NFL season, right? Antonio Brown, first with the Raiders and the Patriots. Dean Spanos, methinks he doth protesteth too much. But no, the Chargers aren't moving to London. And we're doing a bit of a pivot for our final candidate for the After Hours Hall of Fame, Jimmy Butler, to T.J. Warren after they got into a bit of, some extracurricular activity, but a bit of a back and forth in Wednesday night's game, and eventually Warren got ejected.
I mean, to me, I think it's tough for him because I can guard him and he can't guard me. Like, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. But like I said, I think you just got to watch your mouth in certain situations. There's some that you just don't say as a man. And, I mean, he got to see me the next time because I feel like what he said was truly disrespectful, and it's all good because we see him again. I ain't scared of nobody. So you know, he's talking about we gonna fight this that. It is what it is to me. He's not even in my like nowhere near me. And if I was their coach, I would never put him on me ever again. He's like no, put somebody else on me because I'm gonna tear his ass up every time.
Jimmy Butler loves to talk, and he also needed to be bleeped. General rule of thumb for Hall of Fame candidates, you will find yourself in the running for induction if, in fact, you do swear a lot. So what is it, After Hours listeners? What is the perfect fit for the Hall of Fame? Mike Leach describing the Pac-12 mascots. I mean, it's perfection. I don't know how he does it. John Gruden wishing the Patriots good luck with Antonio Brown while someone is pounding something against the side of his temples. Jimmy Butler calling TJ Warren out with a few choice words. And then Dean Spanos, who had to curse a lot just to emphasize his point. We now have the poll up on Twitter. Hall of Flame 2020, first inductee, step right up. So look for it after our CBS or on my Twitter. It's also on our CBS Sports Radio Twitter. And then our Facebook page as well. And before the end of the show, we will reveal your choice for the Hall of Flame induction. All right, football straight ahead. Because football, football, football. We're heading into a football Friday before the divisional round of the playoffs. These next 3 days are going to be magnificent.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Brady in the end zone. Takes the snap. Looks. Fires. Pass batted up in the air. Intercepted and returned for a touchdown, Titans! Logan Ryan with 9 seconds to go.
Now Jackson backs away, sets in the pistol, takes the snap, gives it, fakes it, keeps it, scores! Lamar Jackson, masterful with the ball skills, fools everyone, including me, and steps in for six.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's almost time. It's almost time to see Lamar Jackson back on the field. It feels like forever, right? Because Lamar didn't play in week 17. The Ravens had already locked up the number one seed in the AFC, so we did not see the most of the Ravens starters in that game. And then, of course, they had the bye and didn't have to play in the opening weekend of the postseason. So it has been 3 weeks. The Ravens will be hosting the sixth seed, the Titans, who survived the Patriots at Gillette Stadium last Saturday evening. Mike Keith is the play-by-play voice of the Tennessee Titans, Jerry Sandusky on the Ravens radio network. You all may remember it was a dubious debut for Lamar Jackson. He was the youngest quarterback ever to start a playoff game in NFL history. But against the Chargers last year in the wild card round, it didn't go very well. He was 14 of 29 for 194 yards, a couple of touchdown passes, but an interception, and he fumbled 3 times. Now, he only lost one of them, but he had a really hard time hanging on to the football. So what did he learn from last year's early playoff exit?
You got to attack fast. You know, it don't really matter what quarter it is, what you first or second, you know, you got to attack. You got to just finish the game strong. You can't just go in the game playing half, you know, half-assed, and you had the same results.
Got to go in fast, can't half-ass it. That seems like good advice. Of course, the Titans have already had one playoff game under their belts. And Ryan Tannehill has had to study this Ravens defense quickly. Although, that might have been something they got a little bit of a jump on. Not a lot, though. You don't want to assume anything. But a lot of times there's coaching staff and scouts who are planning ahead just in case. Tannehill led the NFL in passer rating this season. Remember, he took over for Marcus Mariota in October, and the team went on this incredible run. And Derrick Henry, top running back in the NFL this year. So the 1-2 punch there, a very balanced attack. Who do you stop? Who do you focus on? So Tannehill already looking at that Ravens defense.
It's an extremely aggressive defense. They do a good job. They throw a lot of pressures at you, bring it from all over, and really test you. So that's going to be a key for us this week is being clean on all those things and trying to take advantage of some opportunities that are there when they do pressure.
He didn't have a great game against the Patriots. Now, he didn't need to, but here's kind of an interesting tie between the Titans and the Ravens. He threw for the fewest yards in a playoff game since Joe Flacco 10 years ago for the Ravens. They're not going to be able to get by that way if they're going to continue to play. It's going to be it's going to need to be a more balanced offense. The Titans' defense has also been really stingy. They were physical and tough as well against the Patriots. And they forced him into very quick possessions and very quick drives. But something's got to give in this game because both these teams want to play a ball control offense. They want to dominate the time of possession. They want to run the ball effectively. It's going to be a whole lot of purple in Baltimore. I'm excited about that. Excited to see what Lamar Jackson's Ravens do the second time around. Back-to-back AFC North champs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Of course, the NFL on CBS has got you covered this weekend. Saturday night, it is the Titans trying to shock the world again in Baltimore, facing Lamar Jackson and the top-seeded Ravens. That's 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Then on Sunday, 3 o'clock Eastern, noon Pacific, two of the game's elite young quarterbacks are on the same field. Deshaun Watson and the Texans meet Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Both those games begin with the NFL Today on CBS. 855-212-4227. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We're asking you, which game would you like to be at in person? What's the game that you're most excited about this weekend? And you're blowing it up on our social media. And while you're there, please vote for the After Hours Hall of Flame. Skip is listening in Milwaukee. Skip, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Every night listener, first-time caller, so I'm glad I finally got on. Hey, before we talk about the Packer game, I'd like to give a shout-out to Mike McCarthy. Congratulations. A lot of us Packer fan nation people are very happy for him.
Good.
Yeah, he's going to do very well down there. So, and then... Well, this weekend, Amy, I'll answer your question. It's supposed to snow later on tonight, depending upon what weatherman you listen to, all the way into Saturday and Saturday night.
Ooh.
They're talking eight inches to a foot.
That sounds like classic football at Lambeau. It's perfect.
Yep, and so you know which game I'd like to be at this weekend. What else? They're going to be, if they get a lot of snow up in Green Bay, they always have people volunteer to shovel snow. So, you said you wanted to sit on the 50-yard line, call the Packers and say, yeah. Hey, I'll make you a deal. Give me the 50-yard line seats, and I'll help shovel.
Yeah, not even seats. Just let me stand there on the 50-yard line, and I'll shovel with the best of them.
Yep.
Oh, gosh, that would be fun.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. We haven't had a playoff game up here in 3 years, so right. We're excited about it. And Seattle does not win at Lambeau Field for the playoffs. I was at the last two that Seattle was up here, and we want the ball. We're going to score. We won that one. And then we also beat Holmgren's last playoff game as a coach when he was with Seattle, which, by the way, that was also Brett Favre's last home playoff win as a Green Bay Packer.
Yeah, there definitely is a tradition there. Now, it's not a thing where history absolutely dictates what's going to happen in this game. I don't believe in that. I mean, these are different teams. I mean, Matt LaFleur has never even been in the playoffs before as a head coach. This is his first postseason game leading the Packers. Things are different. So it can happen. It may not happen, but it can happen. And so I think the experience of some of the guys who've been there before should really help. But the Seahawks are good on the road. They're 8-1 on the road. They love being in these uncomfortable, hostile territories.
If this was a coach's game, Pete Carroll would win hand over fist because he's had so much success in the playoffs. This is Matt LaFleur. I mean, he's a rookie coach, and also the Packers. I mean, Seattle has more experience than the Packers, you know, outside of Aaron Rodgers and Brian Bulaga and maybe a couple other Packer players, Seattle has a lot more experience than we do. So, and, you know, they do love to play on the road. Russell Wilson, he did well in the state of Wisconsin as a Badger, but he's never won as a Seattle Seahawk in Wisconsin. So,
yep, the last time the Seahawks won it at Lambeau Field, he was 10 years old. So, yeah, it's not been part of his repertoire, but we shall see what happens on Sunday. All right, Skip, well, stay safe in the snow. Thanks so much for your phone call.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Let's talk to Red, who's in Georgia. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
How's it going, Amy? Thanks for taking my call, Amy. It was interesting, Amy, that you was talking about a concussion thing, because I like to look at it from a different aspect, because I see it as an occupation for a lot of these guys. And when you're in an occupation where there's risk of injury and death, you go in firsthand knowing that there's an opportunity up there. Like me, I'm in that type of occupation. I love what I do, and I wouldn't change it for nothing in the world, you know what I mean? And I think just because the league is trying to put forth their best foot, is getting better, I think that's all that you can ask for. You know, there's a lot of technology advancement. And, man, and it takes media to get better at what they're doing, because every time you hear about concussion through the media, it's more of a – it feels like a scare tactic for young youth. And we don't want to lose this sport that we love. I don't want to see that parents – taking the kids away from this sport, from not going to give themselves knowledge of how it's not changing. That's what we need in this sport, the knowledge of seeing how it changed so it can get better as it get better for everybody, man. And thanks for taking my call, Amy. And you have a great day.
Thanks, Red. I appreciate it. What is he saying, that I'm talking about the concussions as a scare tactic? Is that what he was saying? I do think it's something it's something that you can do to be smart, is to have a healthy fear of head injuries, not getting them, but making sure that they are diagnosed and that they are treated correctly. I don't think you want to be running around out there with a concussion just because it's not good for you, nor is it good for your team. And I know that just naturally, because it's gotten more attention because of the big concussion movie that came out, there are going to be parents who are more cautious about allowing their sons and or daughters to play football. We've seen that the numbers of young people participating in high school football has dropped over the last few years. And so I think that's pretty natural, but also the sport at the highest level is still alive and well. So talk of concussions has not been a deterrent to fans or to athletes themselves. For the most part, people still want to play football and watch football. It's just now a consideration that we have to be mindful of. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.